You ready? Awesome. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us again on this brilliant Sunday morning. And we declare that this is the day that the Lord has made, and in it we will rejoice. I thank God because He always brings us together and we sit under the ministry of the Word. So I want to welcome you wherever you're watching from, wherever you're listening from. My prayer for you this morning is that the Lord would minister and speak to you in Jesus' name. Why don't you join me together in prayer and let's ask the Lord to speak to us this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the entrance of your word. Even as it is written that the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. So this morning, Lord, we come before you. We pray that you'd speak to us. We pray that you'd reveal what's on your heart for us this morning. I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister this morning. May you speak to them, Father. Meet them at their point of need. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Great. God is with us this morning because he said, wherever two or three gather in my name, there I am in their midst by my spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and there is liberty. I speak freedom to you this morning in Jesus' name. Let's go straight to the word of God. I want us to start off in Genesis chapter 15 from verse 4. Genesis 15 verse 4. We read this last week, but I want us to start there again this morning. And behold, the word of Jehovah came to him saying, this is to Abram, this one shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. And he believed in Jehovah, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Amen. Let's go to Genesis 17, verse 1. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 99 years old, Jehovah appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. Verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, last week we began talking about the need to be anchored in the word of God whilst you are in the waiting. We got to understand that when you are in the waiting, it is important that you get grounded. You are firm on your ground as you wait upon the Lord. And we discovered that when it comes to the promises of God, it takes two of you. There are always two parties to the promises of God, you and him. So God releases the promise, but you've got a part to play towards the fulfillment of the promises of God. Because God wants to partner with you in him doing work in you and through you. And we spoke briefly about the portion that pertains to God in as far as the promises of God are concerned. And we came to realize that there are a whole lot of aspects that really make the promises of God sure in our lives. And we only dealt with two aspects of the nature of God. And we said here, God is unchanging and God is patient. We can go on and on and on talking about the nature of God that makes his promises sure. That makes his promises something that you can hold on to with your dear life. Glory be to God. And we then said here, for you to survive in the waiting, it is important that you fix your eyes on the nature of God. It is important that you fix your eyes, your attention on the nature of the promise giver. Because as long as you are fixated with the nature of the promise giver, you can survive the waiting. Glory be to God. Because when you look at, when you contemplate on the nature of God, you cannot help it but to trust His promises. Hallelujah. Now, having said that, today I want us to explore the aspect of the promise that has to do with you. Because we say the promise of God has got two sides to it. One, it is God who promises, and secondly, it is you who receives the promises of God. Now, we want to explore the aspect of the promise that has to do with you and me. Hallelujah. Now, the promise of God are sure, but are we in a state to receive those promises? This is a very important question that you and I need to explore, and we need to answer accurately if we are to survive our waiting. So this morning, I want to continue on the theme of being anchored, which we started last week. Now, last week we covered about the importance of being anchored, what it means to be anchored. But this morning, I want to deal with this subject matter, how to stay anchored. So important. How do you stay anchored? Because many people start well. They're excited. They are grounded at the beginning. But along the way, we lose steam. And this morning, I want us to deal with that aspect of how does one remain anchored in the Word while you are waiting for the promise? You see, the Bible uses terminologies like abide in me. Okay? The Bible says remain in me. The Bible says keep this in your mind. You've got to continue in what God starts in your life. So when it comes to our relationship with God, it is about remaining in Him at all times. You see, God does not want us to visit Him from time to time. He wants us to abide. The Bible says, he who abides under the shelter of the Most High God. You see, we are not talking about people who visit. We are talking about permanent dwellers in the presence of God. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you a permanent dweller with God? Or you visit God from time to time? You know people who use God like an ATM machine? They only come to God when they need to make a withdrawal. You see, you don't stay by the ATM. You go to the ATM machine to withdraw money. And that is sometimes how we treat God. We treat Him like an ATM machine where we go to Him only when we need something from Him. But this morning, God is saying, I want more than that. I want to be with you. I want you to abide. I want you to stay with me as long as you have breath in your life. Glory be to God. You see, when you look at the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, I like what Paul says. He is talking about the whole armor of God. And Paul is saying here, therefore, take up the full armor of God. Not part of it. Take up the entire armor of God. For what reason? So that when the evil day comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And having done everything, to stand. Paul understood that this concept called the evil day is imminent in every believer's life. I want you to realize this morning, it's not an if, it's a when the evil day visits you. And you see, when you are in the waiting, you are exposed to evil days. And I want you to know, when you're in the waiting room, you are exposed to challenges. And this is what Paul says, therefore put on the full armor of God so that you are able to stand when the evil day comes. You are able to stand your ground when the winds of life blow in your life. Glory be to God. And he says here, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. It is important, saints, that we are grounded. It is important that we remain sturdy when we are waiting for the promise to be fulfilled in our lives. And he says here, having done everything to stand. Having done everything to stand. I want to encourage somebody right now who is in shaky ground. Having done all, stand. Remain standing, because the one who promised is faithful. The one who made a promise to you, he will make it happen. Glory be to God. You see, the intention of the devil is to remove you from your position. Because when the day that the promise is released, the promise ought to locate you. Will the promise locate you when it comes your way? Hallelujah. Will you be found in a place of being faithful? The Bible says when Jesus was talking about the coming back of the Son of Man, he said, when the Son of Man comes back, shall he find faith on earth? And I want to say to you this morning, if the promise is to be fulfilled in your life, the promise will look for that man who has faith inside of them. And what the enemy wants to do is to shipwreck our faith. What the enemy wants to do is to destroy our faith so that when the promise is released, we are no longer in a state to receive it. Now, where we've read this morning in Genesis chapter 15 and Genesis chapter 17, you'll find that in between these two chapters, life happened. Abraham experienced life. An evil day visited Abraham, and things did not go so well in that period. Do you know that all of us will experience shaky moments in our lives? I get surprised by people who always say, hey, every time, life is good, all the time. Life is good. With me, everything is great. And I listen to this talk and I say, really? Are you being really honest with yourself that life is good all the time? I want you to realize that from time to time, evil days will come our way. And Abraham experienced an evil day. Because between chapter 15, when God spoke to him and reassured him that I will make you a father of many nations, where God told him that your descendants will be as many as the stars of the sky, chapter 16 happened that resulted in Ishmael being born. I want you to know that between chapter 15 of Genesis and chapter 17 of Genesis, there was 13 years of silence where God said nothing. It was in that period that Ishmael was born. I will cover this as I go forward with this message. This shows to me that it is important for you to remain grounded between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. You see, when the anchor is off and Ishmael is born, when we are shaken from the promises of God and Ishmael is born, and this morning I want to ask you a question. How many Ishmaels have you conceived in the course of your waiting? The truth of the matter is Ishmael was never the plan of God for Abraham. But in the process of waiting, life happened which resulted in Ishmael being born. And I want you to know, you will experience difficulties. And if you are not careful, plan B will happen in your life. And I want you to realize that whenever plan B happens in our lives, it will take us longer to experience the promises of God. It will take us longer to experience our breakthroughs. When Ishmael comes into your life, it will drag out the promises of God. Now, this morning, I want to take you through three ways in which you can remain anchored in the Word of God. Three ways to remain anchored whilst you are waiting for God. How do you remain anchored in the Word of God when you are waiting for the promises? Are you ready to dive in with me this morning? Let's look at the first one. The first aspect, or the first way that will help you to remain anchored is this. Maintain a constant exposure to the Word of God. You've got to remain exposed with the Word of God. You see, where we have looked in the life of Abraham, you'd realize that in Genesis 11, God spoke to Abraham. Where he said to him, I've got something for you. Depart from your country and go to a place that I'll show you. He goes and he speaks again to him in Genesis 12. God comes again in Genesis 15 and he speaks to him. In Genesis 17, God speaks again. And it was the same word that God was saying unto Abraham. And I want you to realize this morning, God was telling Abraham that your only way to seeing my promises being fulfilled, it is for you to remain exposed to the Word. It is for you to remain exposed to the Word. And this morning, I want you to realize that the more exposure you have to the Word, the more you can believe it. The more exposure you have to the word, the more you can believe it. Do you know that ignorance is not bliss? There's nothing special about being ignorant. Because I've realized that what you are ignorant about, you are excluded from those things. So what you don't know, you are excluded in engaging those things. And therefore, the more you know the word, the more you can put pressure, the more you can trust, the more you can lean on the very word of God. Now, allow me to say this to you this morning, that when you are ignorant of God's word, you will hold God to a standard he never communicated. So, so important. When you are ignorant of God's word, you will hold God to a standard he never communicated. This is so key for somebody to understand, because a lot of us are misquoting scriptures. A lot of us are saying things that are not found in the word. Why? Because you have heard a preacher saying certain things. You take them as gospel. You think, yeah, this is what the word says. Now, whilst in the waiting, you need to ensure that you hold God to what he said. Be weary of misquoting scriptures. Be weary of wrongly applying scriptures. Because when I misquote a scripture, I should not expect God to act upon a misinformation. Because when you misquote scripture, it's basically being misinformed. And this is very, very important. Now, a research outcome by a research organization called Barna, they did a research around different religions. And they came to realize that Christians are one of religious people who know the least about their religion. Christians are uninformed about their religion. No wonder why we've got a lot of believers who are not getting results, because they don't know. So it is important for you to ask yourself that whilst I'm in the waiting right now, am I waiting based on the truth of God, or am I waiting based on my own understanding and my own perceptions that are not necessarily in line with the word of God? Somebody can tell you that, you know what, God said I will never get sick. Well, I'm not very sure if God said you will never get sick. But what I know, God said when you get sick, your sickness and your infirmities were carried on the cross. Hallelujah. I want you to realize that we are in a fallen world. And therefore, because of the nature of the fallen world, we are bound to experience issues in our lives. But when we are in Christ, we've got a promise for results. Glory be to God. We need to hold God to the standard that he communicated. We need to hold Jesus to account on the word that he spoke. Jesus said, in this world you shall have trouble, when you go to John 16 verse 33. But he said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He said, I say this, that in me you might have peace. Hallelujah. When you understand that, and in that context, when trouble comes your way, you are able to run to Jesus. You are able to say, you said you have overcome the world on my behalf. Glory be to God. This is so, so important. I want you to realize that when you use an accurate tool wrongly, you'll get wrong results. The tool might have been calibrated. The tool is accurate. But if you use it wrongly, you will not get the intended results. I want you to know that the word of God is active. The word of God is perfect. The word of God is a very spoken word of God. And therefore, if I use it aright, I'll be able to get the results. If I don't use it correctly, I will not get the results. That's just how it is. When you look at Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, we all know this portion of scriptures. The Bible tells us that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Other version says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. It goes on and says, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priest to me. Since you have forgotten the law of God, of your God, I will also forget your sons, even I. I want to ask you this morning, how much word do you know? How much word do you contain in your spirit, man? A lot of believers don't know word. A lot of believers depend on what is taught by pastors. A lot of believers, they wait for the pastor to come and teach the word. But I want you to realize, if you're only depending on what the pastor preaches, if the pastor doesn't preach the truth, you then get lost. And I want to encourage you to get into the word personally. Let the word of God become a personal matter in your life. And in that line, I want you to realize that God is not moved by emotions, but by what he said in his word. God is not moved by emotions. You might feel sorry and pity over yourself. That doesn't move God. God is not only moved by what he spoke in his word. So this morning, it's okay to cry. It's okay to be emotional when you go through trouble. But I want you to add something on top of that. You need to add the very spoken word of God. Why am I saying this? In Isaiah 55 verse 10, the Bible says, "For just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return without watering the earth, making it bud and sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word that proceeds from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and it will prosper where I send it." You see, what changes your life is the word of God. What changes your life is what was pronounced by God. Because God says here, every word that came out of my mouth will not return empty. And you know what? A lot of veterans in the Lord right now would switch off. Because they will say, man, I've been hearing this so many times. But my question is, why are there no results in your life? You might as well sit still and listen to the word right now in the name of Jesus. Because I've realized that many people want complicated revelation. And this is what they want. But when we miss the basics, it doesn't matter how much revelation comes through. If we do not internalize that revelation, it will not change us. So hear this word. We've known it from kindergarten. We have known it from the time we got born again. God is saying, it is only the word that proceeds out of my mouth that will change your circumstances. And I want to encourage you this morning to be like a child. The Bible says, unless you become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. It does not say unless you are childish. It says unless you are like a child. Unless you take my word with simplicity, unless you just receive it and you walk in it, you will not experience the kingdom of God. I want you to realize this morning that the more we are exposed to the word, the more we can survive our waiting. Peter exhorted his spiritual son Timothy to study in order to be approved of God and people around him. I want you to get into the habit of studying the word. Many people started well. They would have journals to write down. They would study the scriptures. They would do word studies. They would do thematic studies of the Bible. But today, we don't do that anymore. But Paul was telling Timothy, study earnestly. Be earnest. Study earnestly to present yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every child of God in God Church, I want to challenge you today to go to that. Studying scriptures is not just for pastors. It is for every child of God. You need to be earnest. It takes a level of discipline for you to study the word. And I want to ask you this morning, when last did you go on a systematic approach of studying the word? When last did you apply your mind in studying the word? You need to see the word as a basic necessity whilst in the waiting. And this is what Peter was saying in 1 Peter 2 verse 2. He says here, like newborn infants, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Crave spiritual milk. Crave the word of God. We feed ourselves in the morning. We feed ourselves in the afternoon. We feed ourselves in the evenings. But how many times, this is physically, but how many times do we feed our spiritual man? And I want you to know that in the same way that your spiritual, your physical body needs food, your spiritual man needs food. When you are spiritually fit, you are able to survive in the waiting. Glory be to God. Those who carry the word with them will never get lost in the waiting. The reason why we get lost in the waiting, it is because the word is no longer the lamp unto our feet. The word is no longer lighting our path. But when you are exposed to the word, you will not get lost in your waiting. I want to encourage you right now to get back to the word. David says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Hallelujah. If you are in a state of confusion right now, could it be an indication that you haven't been exposed to the light? You haven't been exposed to the word of God. You see, when you drink the word of God, you'll be refreshed in the waiting. The Bible talks about how the word of God is like water that refreshes us. Glory be to God. When you take the word inside of you, you'll be strong. The word is like bread, the bread of life. Hallelujah. I want to encourage somebody this morning to be inspired to go back into the word. David says, your word is as sweet as honey on my lips. You see, when you get into the word, it is moreish. You want more and more and more of it. Hallelujah. I want to encourage somebody to get back into the habit of drinking the word. So this is what we need to do. We need to be exposed to the word of God on a constant basis. That is the first way of remaining anchored. You've got to be disciplined to get into the word. The second way is this. It's not how much word you know, but how much word you do that really matters. Oh, this is so profound. It's not how much word you know. Great, you know word in your mind, but has that word been translated into actions? You see, every time we hear the word, we're excited. We jump up and down. We shout, it's mine. I take it. I receive it. Hello? It is great. It is important to receive the word with excitement. But do you know that that is only the beginning of the journey? It's only the beginning of the journey. You see, God was faithful in giving the word. But was Abraham always faithful in waiting? Was Abraham always faithful in the waiting? I want you to realize that in between the waiting, in between the promises, Abraham ran into multiple challenges. And you and I will experience challenges as we wait for the promises. And this is a wake-up call for everyone. You are bound to run into trouble as you wait on God. In chapter 15, the Bible tells us this about Abraham. It says, and he believed in Jehovah. And he believed in Jehovah. And he counted it to him for righteousness. At that time, when the word was released, Abraham believed. Abraham said, yes, I receive it. I believe this word. I have said it before. But when I started walking through a season of waiting, I failed to apply that word. I failed to relate that word to my reality. Abraham believed when the word was released, but struggled to place the word in his reality. Look at what Abraham did when he was facing reality. His reality was the deadness of his body. His reality was the deadness of Sarah's womb. His reality was lack of strength as a man, and he was wondering, I don't think this was actually true. The question is, what are your realities right now? Where you are, what are your realities? You see, when the realities hit Abraham, he hit a speed hump. Yes, Abraham is called the father of faith, but at some point, he hit a speed bump. And if you're experiencing a speed hump right now, you are not alone. Father Abraham experienced it. The issue is not to remain there. The issue is not to remain down. I want you to realize that it's not about whether you fall down. It's about how many times you bounce back. It's about how many times you bounce back. Glory be to God. Abraham fell, but he rose up. God, hallelujah. He rose up and he believed God again. Maybe right now you feel you no longer believe God. I want you to know it is possible for you to go back to a place of faith. Look at what happened here in Genesis 16, verse 1. When Abraham hit a speed hump of faith. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, did not bear. There was a promise. The promise had been given, but she did not bear. And she had a female slave, an Egyptian, and her name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold now, Jehovah has kept me from bearing." How many times have we accused God of doing things in our lives? How many times have we attributed some things that are bad to God? And look at what Sarai is saying here. Jehovah has kept me from bearing. I pray you, go in to my slave woman. It may be that I may be built by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. Whom did God speak to? Did God speak to Sarai or God spoke to Abram? God spoke to Abram. And therefore one would have expected Abram to say to Sarai, "No, my dear, this is not what God told me." From time to time, we need to be able to tell ourselves that this is not what God said. Abraham listened to Sarai at that time. What was going on here? Abraham was shaky in his faith. Let me ask you a question. What word do you know, but you're finding it difficult to live it out? What word have you received 6 years ago, but you are finding it difficult to live it out today? And this is a question that somebody needs to answer this morning. I want you to realize that we will have those moments, and I have heard those moments where I fail to reconcile the spoken word and my realities. But this morning, I want you to realize that the truth is more sturdy than your realities. What we need to do is to focus again on the truth. And the word of God is truth. Many Christians are big talkers but small doers. Many Christians know how to confess but find it difficult to do the word. And this morning, I want to challenge you to be pragmatic with regards to the promises of God. We have allowed the enemy to put lies in our hearts so that we can rationalize the word. But this morning, if God spoke it, you can hold on to that word. You see, so many times what God says does not make sense in relation to what we are going through. That is why the things of the Spirit can only be apprehended by those who are spiritual, by those who walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. When you look at James 1, verse 22, the Bible says, "Don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it. For that is the essence of self-deception." Don't just listen. I know people who would move from conference to conference, conference to conference. And my question is, you've been going through so many conferences, but how many of those conferences have really related into actions in your life? I know many people who follow so many preachers. There's nothing wrong with that. But let what we hear translate into action. Let what we hear translate into action. And here, James is saying, don't just listen to the word of God and not respond to it. The way we respond to the word is by doing it. When the word says, "Give and it shall be given unto you," we've got to do it. We've got to give. When the word says, "Lord, forgive us," in the same way that we forgive those who have sinned against us, we've got to forgive. That is what the word says. Now, we know a lot, but we do little. So always let his word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. So our lives should bring forth the poetry into life. Glory be to God. You see, Every time you do the word, you become a partaker. You become a partaker of the promise of the divine nature of God. Every time you do the word, you become a partaker of the divine nature of God. I want you to know that God is carried in his word. The nature of God, the abilities of God, the capacities of God are found in his word. And every time you are a doer of the word, you have access to the divine nature of God. You have access to the miracles that are found in God. You have access to those things that God alone can do. It means that you gain access to the capacity found in God. When you look at the Bible, there are stories of people who put themselves under the word, who became doers of the word, and they experienced breakthroughs in our lives. Let's talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary received the word. An angel came. Gabriel came to her and gave this profound prophetic word about the birth of the Lord Jesus. And Mary struggled with it. And I understand when you struggle with the promises of God, because many of those promises are beyond us. And the promise that came to Mary was beyond Mary, because Mary was a virgin. Mary had not known any man, and yet God was saying, you're going to bear a child. And Mary said, how can this be, seeing that I have not known a man? And after negotiating with this angel, Mary said, behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. That was the time that conception happened in her womb. That was the time that the miracle happened in the heart, in the body of Mary. When she said, behold, the servant of God, let it be done unto her according to your word. Shall we come to that place where we say, Lord, behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. When we do that, we walk in miracles. When we do that, we walk in power. The impossible becomes possible in our lives. Let it be done to your servant according to your word. Peter, Simon Peter the fisherman, when Jesus wanted to use his boat as a pulpit, the Bible tells us that after preaching using the boat of Simon Peter, Jesus then said to Peter, listen here, just push a little bit deeper and cast your net and you get a great catch. And Peter had a bit of issues with that. However, listen to what Peter said. The Bible says in Luke 5 verse 4, and as he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a haul. Let your nets down for a catch. Forgive so that you can receive healing. Do you know that some of the sicknesses that we have, it is because of unforgiveness? It's because of bitterness that we carry inside of us? And God would come to you. And I believe God will be saying to you right now, for you to experience your divine healing, forgive. Forgive your dead. Yeah. Forgive that person. Don't hold them prisoner in your heart. And you're wondering, but how can this be? You know, it's an issue of forgiving and healing, and you're struggling to forgive. Now here Jesus was saying to Simon, let down your net. Let down your net. And Peter and Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. You see, some of you have applied for loans to start businesses, and FNB rejected you. Stanbic Bank rejected you. Okay? CBZ rejected you. Absa rejected you. And the word comes and says, I want you to reapply for the business loan. And you know, naturally you say to God, but I've applied to 6 banks before and they've been rejecting me. But this time there is a word being released and God is saying, do it again. Now Peter said, yeah, Master, we have done it over and over and over. Nothing has happened. I want you to know that when you do something by yourself, you can do it over and over and over and you'll not get results. But when you do it in response to the word of God, you will get results. Hallelujah. Now, Peter was about to lose an opportunity here. And yet we have taken nothing yet. Come on now. Somebody needs a yet in their lives. He said, yet at your word, I will let down the net. And doing this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net was being torn. Man, I want you to realize that God is the maker and the creator of the heavens and the earth. Nothing was made which was not made by the word. So the moment Jesus said to him, cast down your net, in that moment that Peter responded by saying, at your word, all the fish that were all over the place were attracted to that place. Hallelujah. This is what happens when we work with the word that created the heavens and the earth. That word will recreate our worlds. That word will recreate our circumstances. And this morning, I want to encourage you to obey the word. Obey the word. Yet, at your word, I will let down my net. Yet, at your word, I will reapply for that loan. Yet, at your word, I will call my friend for reconciliation in our relationship. Hallelujah. This is so, so important. And the Bible says in doing this, they caught so much fish. Now, you see, in the waiting, you sometimes do not sense God. You don't sense the word of God. You don't sense God speaking to you. And I've been through that where I was saying, Lord, where are you? I can't hear you, Lord. I can't hear your word. I can't hear your voice. What is going on here? Do you realize that you do not need faith when God is speaking? You need faith in the time when God has stopped speaking. Abraham needed faith in that phase period of waiting for the promise, to still believe that his promises are yes and amen. Now, I want to say this to you. The perceived silence of God in the waiting does not nullify his word. In that time where it feels like God is not speaking, in that time where it feels like you're all by yourself, it does not nullify what God has spoken already. This is a truth that will cause you to keep on doing the word, even when there are no imminent results. Does somebody hear me this morning? When God seems to be silent, it is time to go back to his word. When God seems to be silent, it is time to open that journal that has gathered so much dust on your table. It is time to go back to the spoken word. It is time to go back to those words that you wrote back 10 years ago. Hallelujah. You see, God is saying, I spoke already and I change not. God spoke already. When you feel like God is silent and yet you are a carrier of his word, you need to go back to that word and look at it again and believe it. Remember when God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 15, the Bible says he took him outside and showed him the stars of the sky and says, if you can count them, your descendants will be as many as that. You see, the stars were a constant reminder. In the 13 years from Genesis 15 to Genesis 17, they should have been a constant reminder to Abraham for him to be able to say, he promised. He promised, I can see the stars. That is why we need to be in the habit of writing word down. That is why we need to be in the habit to recording the word of God. A week ago, I was out at work in one of the power stations, and I was going through the prophetic word that God spoke over our church, and I was going through one of the words where God was saying, the Lord will sustain the church. Many people will come and go, but the church will remain. The Lord will sustain the church. The church will stand the test of time. Man, I was encouraged. I was encouraged at that time. I had to just listen to that word again, where God was saying, the church will withstand the test of time. And I want to say to you today, go back to the word that the Lord spoke to you in the beginning. Very, very key. Let's look at the last way of remaining grounded in the process of waiting for the promise. Let's do the last one. Now, it is important that you translate head knowledge to heart knowledge. In the waiting, if you are to remain anchored in the Word of God, you need to translate head knowledge into heart knowledge. You know what I've discovered? I have discovered that many Christians have got plenty head knowledge but lack heart knowledge. What it means is that we've got big heads and small hearts. The reverse ought to be true. We need to have small heads and big hearts. In other words, whatever comes into our heads needs to be translated into our hearts. And in this regard, David says, I have hidden your word in my heart. I have hidden your word in my heart, not in my mind, not in my brains, so that I might not sin against you. The word that will take you through the waiting is not the word that is in your brains. That word is mechanical. It is the word that is seated on your heart. Glory be to God. The heart is the seat of life. That is where everything comes from. You see, the Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever you contain in your heart is what you will act. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 31, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Why? Because the word is in his heart. Now, this morning, I want you to realize the head knowledge puffs up, but heart knowledge transforms your life. Head knowledge puffs up. Heart knowledge transforms your life. Many people know the word in their head, but they don't have it in their heart. That is why sometimes people can quote scriptures. They can tell you verbatim what the word says, but you look at their lives, you cannot see the word in their lives. It is because it's all in the brains. It's all in the mind. It needs to be translated into the heart. And you know what? The waiting period is a litmus test of whether you only have head knowledge or you've got heart knowledge. Hello? When you've got heart knowledge, you will not be moved by circumstances. If God has called you to be in a specific church, God has called you to be in God's church, and life happens in God's church, there are times that are tough in the church, we rub each other in the wrong way. If you do not have heart knowledge about where you are supposed to be, you will say to yourself, my time is up, I'm out of this church. But if you know God has called you into a place, you will not move prematurely. People who have got head knowledge move prematurely. And because of that, we miss God in the process. Does somebody hear me this morning? Don't move prematurely. You need to have the word in your heart. You see, the idea and the concept of heart knowledge is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that happens on the word that you receive. Many people receive word, but they do not allow the Holy Spirit to work on the word. Do you hear me this morning? You need to allow the Holy Spirit to work on the word so that that word can become revelation. When the word says in Romans chapter 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, we are talking about that hearing that comes as a result of revelation. Many people are quick to hear the word, but they don't mull over the word. They don't give time to the word so that they have a revelation. You therefore need to give time to the Holy Spirit to work on the word you receive, until it goes past your brain and down into your heart. We need to download every word that we receive through our brains for it to sit on our heart, because it is heart word that we can act upon. Glory be to God. This is what the writer of the Hebrews said in Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Glory be to God. I will put my law into their hearts.
Someone said, do not underestimate the distance between the head and the heart. The distance is very long. The time you give to the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth in the promise of God is a process that we call meditation. You need to take time to meditate upon the word, to utter and to mutter until the word makes sense. Sometimes we read the word and we leave it there. And I want you to change your attitude towards the word. When you study the word, you need to ask the Holy Spirit, which word do you have for me right now? What are you saying to me concerning my situation? When you look at meditating, it is that process of waiting on scriptures. You wait on the scripture. You don't run off after reading a scripture. You wait on a scripture. You speak the scriptures. Hallelujah. You speak them aloud. When the word of God says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we can think or even imagine. God, what do you mean? Holy Spirit of God, what do you mean? When you do that, you repeat the word to yourself, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, Lord. What does that mean to me? What are you saying to me in this season, Lord? I want you to know, when you do that, revelation will come. And that is the word that changes your life. The Holy Spirit will reveal the truth. You commune with the Holy Spirit concerning a specific word. And this morning, I want you to realize that when you are in the habit of meditating upon the word, it will no longer just head knowledge. It will become revelatory. Hallelujah. This is very key. Meditating upon the word of God results in faith-filled behavior. Meditating upon the word results in faith-filled behavior. That is why we need to linger in the word. Yes, we talk about lingering in worship. That is great. Let's extend that lingering process to the word of God. Let's not do these hit and runs. You see, we need to wait upon the word and chew upon the word until the word becomes revelation. Faith comes as a result of revelation. When you have a revelation about something, you get convinced about it. Hallelujah. Joshua 1 verse 8. This will be our last scripture. God was preparing Joshua to lead the people of Israel across the River Jordan into the promised land. And this is what God says. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it by day and by night. You shall linger in therein. You shall mutter and utter. You shall ponder upon the word. You shall do word studies until you understand the concept. And he says, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall act wisely. So, so key. I want you to realize this morning that the trajectory of your life is influenced by what occupies your heart. The trajectory of your life is influenced by what occupies your heart. So therefore, we have a responsibility of filling our hearts with the word of God. So this is key, saints. If we are to remain anchored, we need to remain exposed to the word. We need to do the word. We need to translate head knowledge into heart knowledge. May the Lord help you in this season. I want to pray for you right now so that you go back to the word. You become a doer of the word. You become disciplined. You crave for the word. Shall you open your hands and let's pray together right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your people. I thank you that you have given us the word of God, the precious promises of God that will give us access to the divine nature of God. Lord, I pray right now that each one of us would go back to that place of craving and desiring the very word of God. Lord, I thank you this morning that the entrance of your word is what we need in our hearts. May you help my friends, help my brother, help my sister right now to get back to the Word. I pray that we become Word-based people. Thank you, Father, that your Word does not come back to you void. When we receive that Word, we are guaranteed of results. And so, Father, we thank you and we honor you this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for watching with us today, for spending this moment and hearing this Word. May the Lord continue helping you as we remain anchored in the Word. If you are part and parcel of our church, please remember, we are starting our week of fasting tomorrow in the morning until Friday, and the Lord will meet up with you. So go in your strength, and God bless you. Amen.